I watch a lot of these documentaries, Pamela. Last Chance U about junior college football players. Just watched another one, basically kind of behind the scenes in the game of football. And there's one kind of constant I see a lot of times is football coaches are a certain breed. And I'm not just talking about the tight bike shorts that they wear or the visor. There's one of two kinds. There's the motivator of men. Come on, guys, you can do it together. We're all in this. And then there's the drill sergeant kind of angry attitude towards players.
Right, and the University of Maryland right now is suspending their athletic staff after allegations of a toxic environment. This came out of a report from ESPN. This is the reporter on that story. Take a listen.
When we talked to these people, we made sure that this was beyond the, quote, old school coaching philosophy, right? Everybody we talked to, we said, why is this different? And it's because of how excessive it was and putting more weights on than a player's body should be able to handle, and players passing out, and a player forced to do a tug of war with a bum shoulder.
So I was trying to understand, and again, I the University of Maryland conducting their investigation, I get it. We'll find out what happens with it. But I wanted to understand a little bit more about kind of how that works. Joining us right now, he is a two-time Super Bowl champion for Pamela's Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Max Starks is with us. Max, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bruce and Pamela. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, thank you.
So far, so good. I'm gonna show my ignorance, and I apologize I didn't do it. Where did you go to college, sir?
I went to the University of Florida, Fighting Gators.
Okay,
all right.
A football powerhouse. Did you have a coach all 4 years? Same coach?
No, actually, I had two different coaches. I had Steve Spurrier for 2 years, and I had Ron Zook for 2 years.
All right. Oh, the Ron Zook era. Okay, so I assume that in the world of collegiate and or professional sports, players are aware that different coaches have different styles. But the things that are being accused of at the University of Maryland, like, you know, making players run and guys passing out, like, I'm not saying I condone it, but a lot of it strikes me as, well, isn't that kind of what goes on?
You know, yeah, I read about the article and heard about the University of Maryland situation, and you know, there's a balance, you know, that you have to have. I mean, obviously, you know, for coaches, is how do I create toughness within guys that they don't think are as tough in their mind or their view, which it can be an antiquated view at times, depending on the era from which the coach is, you know, most notable for. And I think that's where you have to find that line. Because I think, back when I was in college and we came in, I mean, we ran hard. We, you know, and it's Florida, so it's a lot of humidity in the summertime. And, you know, guys passed out on occasions. And, you know, it was trying to create a culture of toughness. And that was before all of these studies happened. You know, in fact, you look back to 2001 – Corey Stringer dying, you know, passing out from heat-related complications for the Minnesota Vikings. My college teammate, Araste Otan, passed away in the same time frame, that same year, from heat stroke after we were running drills. So, and a lot of protocols changed after that. And so you try and find that balance of what is too much and what's not enough, because, you know, a coach's job, especially at the collegiate level, you're taking these young men just graduated from high school out of, you know, they're coming out of their parents' home, and the coach is the individual who's supposed to teach them, you know, quote unquote, how to make the jump from being a young man to a grown man in those 4 years, because that's where college develops your character, develops you to prepare you for adulthood.
But Max,
into the working world.
I got to jump in here real quick because, you know, as a guy who played at the University of Florida, a powerhouse, you've played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you talk about toughness. Toughness is one thing. Abuse is another. Mm. Where, as a football player, is that line?
And I think that's where it has to be. That's the one that becomes blurry. And I think when you look at, you know, what calculates as abuse, you know, I read through some of the stuff that was in there. Slapping a sandwich out of a kid's hands is a bit rough. And I think, but here's the, at the same time, was there rule set? Was it in a meeting room? Was he not, what, you know, because I remember you weren't allowed to bring any food in the meeting room. Your only thing you were allowed to bring was like a Gatorade in there.
And you would, but, you could get disciplined for violating team rules. Yeah.
Yes. But I don't think at that point, slapping it out of his hand, you know, the question is, you know, was it actually, did the coach ask him and the kid disregarded it? And the coach felt like he had to make a statement, but still at the same time, you have to create an environment where kids feel comfortable. And right now it doesn't seem like the kids feel comfortable at University of Maryland because of probably some of the verbal, I mean, granted the verbal abuse, I'm like, hey, that's going to happen. When you have that much testosterone, there's going to be that type of talk.
And so Max,
the actual physical aspect bothers me.
Yeah. Again, we're talking to Max Starts, two-time Super Bowl champ with the Steelers, also hangs out over on our sister station, Arizona Sports, from time to time. So, you know, you as a player, and again, Spurrier didn't strike me as kind of a nut job, but I mean, I'm sure over your high school collegiate or professional career, you've had coaches who were verbally abusive. Did it motivate you? I mean, does that help you? Did you say, hey, I kind of needed that push when he called me a so-and-so and said I wasn't going to make it? I mean,
does it work?
Yeah, does it work?
For me, no. For me, I already know what my responsibility is. I have enough self-motivation that I don't need somebody to kind of prod or berate me to think that that's going to motivate me to do more. You know, I can recall one situation in college, actually. Ron Zook came up to me. It was right after we lost to Ole Miss. We lost to Eli Manning and his Ole Miss Rebels. In Ole Miss, we lost 17-14. I can remember as clear as day. Coach pulled me aside that following week in practice. He stepped on my toes in my cleats so I would not go, got right up into my face. And it was the quietest, most vicious verbal lashing I've ever experienced. He whisper cussed me. I didn't even know that was a thing.
That's a thing.
But he cussed me out for about 10 minutes while stepping on my foot and yelling at me, claiming that I was the reason why we lost the game. And I was, you know, at the end of it, I was like, seriously, because we had barbecue the night before the game, and that made the guys lethargic. That's what he said. Now, mind you, I'm the captain of the offensive line, and we're in Memphis, Tennessee. How do you go to Memphis, Tennessee and not have barbecue? That's the first thing.
That's an A, number one, yeah.
You know, and so I got barbecue for the guys. Instead of us having our normal pregame dinner, I got barbecue. We go out, we put two touchdowns on Ole Miss. We throw two pick sixes. And that's what caused us to lose the game. It wasn't because of lethargic. Our quarterback threw two pick sixes. And so, you know, that made me angry.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I focused more because of it.
Yeah,
understood.
And so that bothered me. But some guys, they respond to that.